For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, we could start off by just talking about what an unbelievable game it was. But I did want to address this first point before we dig into that. I was in China. I'm coming back. I'm totally devastated flying out there because we just got pounded by USC. I'm there all week. I come back on Friday, and I was so busy I didn't get a chance to catch up on anything. But as I come back and I fire up ESPN.com, the first thing I see is the story on Brian Kelly taking shots at his players and how there's complete dissension on the team. So, here we are heading in the Navy, and I'm already nervous about the game because I didn't have any confidence that we could stop the option. And at first glance, I'm like, holy cow, what is going on? What is Brian Kelly thinking?
Because ESPN is never one to blow up a story when it has Notre Dame involved.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the first question you got to ask yourself is, why is it that they never report anything like this with any other football program? When is there ever a story about another football program that doesn't have to do with what happens on the field?
Well, it's basically got to be, the thing is, I think that it's, if it's a drug arrest or an aggravated assault or attempted murder, that'll get reported. I think it goes with the territory. It's Notre Dame. It's the same thing with the Yankees. It's the same thing with the Cowboys. It sells papers.
Here's how far that goes.
Don't forget, ESPN's in competition because they don't have Notre Dame. They don't have right. Versus. They don't have NBC. That's a different company. And I guess there's an article in today's USA Today coming out tomorrow about ESPN's involvement in all this conference realignment and everything, and I'm looking forward to reading it. I haven't gotten a chance to yet, but we forget. I mean, these kinds of things are all affected by money and ad revenue and dollars, and they channel us towards what they want us to see and hear and what they think is going to drive eyeballs and drive ears, and it's all of that. But I get
I know. It just goes so far that, I happen to catch the College Game Day crew, and there they are.
Killing Kelly,
Herb
right?
Street and Corso, just jumping all over him. Even making the simplest comment that, Desmond Howard saying, when you're a head football coach, you just can't, call out players. And I mean, it was so ridiculous, the point they were making, because you're saying to yourself, like, come on, that couldn't possibly have been that. And sure enough, I then go in to read the details of the actual press conference and the comments that Kelly made during this 5-minute interview, and it totally got taken out of context. The point that he was trying to make, at least in the reporting of this 5-minute interview, was that, there's when you build a program, when you take it over, you deal with two sides. You deal with the guys you're bringing in and the guys you're dealt with. And it's a moving process that takes time that has to be handled. A CEO has to do the same thing when he's hired on board. He's got his way of doing things, and new employees that he brings on fit that mold. But he's also got guys that are there that, he's got to win them over, and it's two different approaches.
And anybody who's ever worked for a big company, when a new CEO or executive comes in, you could usually wait about 6 months and look around, and there's a lot of people from the old regime who aren't around anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I just thought it went way overboard. So, to Kelly's credit, whatever ESPN thought, I mean, it didn't look like it on the football field come Saturday against Navy, because they came together as a football team and played about as good as they can play against, what I saw when the South Carolina game, when I watched Navy. I mean, boy, they had me nervous after
right.
that game.
Well, I'll give you my two cents on it real quick. I mean, I just think that there were two major dynamics at work last week. And the first is just incredible frustration by everybody throughout the entire program not to mention, of course, the fan base about what happened against USC. And I have to think that a lot of what happened last week is just directly attributable to the fact that Notre Dame, in a hugely hyped game that they were responsible for hyping, coaches, I don't know about players, but certainly fans and administration and media and everything, came out and basically laid an egg on national television against their most hated rival. And I think that that frustration boiled over into, you know, comments by Kelly and the players' reaction to it. And they were just embarrassed, I think. I think Kelly was embarrassed by the way the team played. I think some of the players were embarrassed. And I think Kelly was pissed off that not enough of the players were embarrassed. Or maybe, you know, maybe that's what he perceived during practice. So I think a lot of kind of the way things played out was just still a really ugly hangover from how badly things turned out the previous Saturday. And the second dynamic, I think, is at work here, and I also read this. This was written by Tim Priester on Irish Illustrated, and I completely agree with this and thought of it right away when I'm reading it. This is, a lot of this just goes back to the kind of kids that you're dealing with today, these highly recruited kids, and the way that they have to be coached. I mean, can you imagine a day and age, like in our quote-unquote era, where you would even see a story in a newspaper about a coach apologizing to his players? You know, we are so far removed from Vince Lombardi and, you know, Bobby Knight and, you know, those guys. I mean, and the piece that I'm talking about Priesters, he had a quote from Jeff Jackson, the Notre Dame hockey coach, about there are just not too many kids anymore who can be coached hard, quote unquote. In other words, the kids that just see the coach as just the beginning and the end, the total authority figure, and they just want to be ridden. I mean, you know, they can take it. You know, these kids, and I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. It's just, I mean, I'm saying it is different. I'm not saying good or bad. It's just different. And so you would read quotes anywhere from Brian Kelly's got to be an idiot and fired right away for throwing his team under the bus to, you know, what a bunch of bedwetters these football players are. Come on, you know, get tough. And you can tell that's just coming from two different ends of the spectrum about, you know, it. Parenting has changed dramatically. Coaching has changed dramatically. These are all, I mean, and Brian Kelly, you know, at whatever, you know, at Grand Valley and, you know, Eastern Michigan or whatever, Central Michigan and Cincinnati had a bunch of kids that were, they weren't 4 and 5 stars. You know, I'm sure he could probably coach them a little bit harder maybe than some of these guys. In other words, he didn't have parents who were moving to town to live with their kids. He didn't have dads calling him at, you know, 11 at night to ask about practice time and to ask about how many reps his kid has gotten and to ask about, you know, injuries and, you know, Lord knows what. I mean, so it is just a different kettle of fish dealing with some of these kids. And I think sometimes for a coach who, you know, is a little bit old school or whatever, that can just make you a little bit nuts sometimes. And maybe that's a little bit of what happened last week. So I think those are the two main things, the USC mess, and then just the fact that you're dealing with a higher level of sensitivity, I think, by recruits, players, parents, all the way down the line. And maybe, you know, Kelly kind of, who knows? Maybe he tested those waters a little bit just to see what his guys are made of, and he got a reaction. And that actually, I mean, you know, the fact that these guys got kind of ticked off at him, I mean, at least they have a pulse, because they didn't play against USC like they had much of a pulse.
Yeah, they didn't. Well, and if anything, I mean, I give Kelly credit for pulling the team together, because that could have been just a disastrous outcome on Saturday if you read, you know, the press and thought, all right, this whole program is imploding. I mean, the ESPN was the game day crew was making comments about how they're going to lose recruits. You know, this is, just think, Corso was trying to point out that, look, when a recruit comes on campus and the Charlie Weiss guys are whispering in his ear, you don't want to come here. You know, it's just crap like that just gets way out of hand. And, you know, to Kelly's credit, they played well. You know, they came together as a football team, and everybody even made the comment in the press conference that, you know, for the first time all season, the majority of the 11 guys on the field played well. And give Kelly credit for that, especially going up against a team that, you know, again, I thought with the way that they defended the option previously in their this year and even last year, obviously, against Navy themselves, probably put best, as the last great Notre Dame coach said it on ESPN Saturday night, and I'll quote him verbatimly. He said directly, "You don't defend the option, you attack it."
Yeah, I heard that.
And that's exactly what they did. For the first time all year, these guys got after it, and they were not predictable. There was a great series where Dan Fox just drilled the quarterback. The very next option play they ran, he was out on the pitch, man. And, you know, so the quarterback's thinking himself coming down the line, shit, man, if that guy comes again, I'm getting rid of it. And then he sees that, oh, wow, he's on the pitch, man. And then all of a sudden, Manti Te'o comes flying in, and you're just like, the chaos begins. And so that's what you do against the option. You create chaos.
Well, you know what? I mean, in fairness, I mean, listen, we'll give them a mulligan. But the fact of the matter is that they played defense much, much better against Army last year, which was their second bite at this apple. They played defense well against Air Force. Obviously, Saturday, you know, they played defense well. They're getting the hang of this. And like we've said before, for this program to get where it needs to go, one of the things they have to do is just basically pound the service academies and make sure that those are gimme games again. And they're not gimmies. I mean, these are teams that can mess you up and move the football.
Yeah, they can play.
But they have
to
kind of crack that code and be able to coach up these guys over the course of 4 or 5 days, because they have superior athletes, and that's what they've done now, you know, in back-to-back instances. So I mean, I think again, we got to do a lot more than that to get to where we want to go. But to me, that's a good sign. And to tell you the truth, I don't need, you know, it doesn't have to be a super harmonious, you know, situation between coach and player. I think that stuff about the effect on recruiting, you know, is overblown. I think people, the right kind of guys come to Notre Dame for a lot of different reasons. You know what I mean?
Yep. And a single game doesn't matter anything.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think that there's probably still players, and there always are going to be players who basically think the coaches are a bunch of, you know, pricks. I mean, there's 86 guys or however many there are. You know what I mean? So you're always going to have guys, whether they're holdover from Weiss's eras or guys that Kelly recruited, who have a problem with their position coach or have a problem with Kelly. Or I mean, my gosh, you could, you know, think of all the guys that thought Holtz was a freaking, you know, nightmare, you know,
right,
egomaniac
exactly.
Jerk.
Well, I think that I was chatting with Sully earlier this week, and can you imagine if we would have the internet and chat boards like we do now when Holtz was here? I mean, people would have been going ape crap all over him with the way that we conservatively played it, you know, by holding the ball and just, you know, running, and the way that Holtz would, you know, play great against Tennessee in the first half, just dominate him, and then end up losing on a field goal. People would have just gone nuts on him, and you know, especially early on, we were, you know, 4-6, staring at 4-7, and by a last second field goal at USC, we end up salvaging a 5-6 season. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of that stuff that goes on, and it's, you know, it's just all part of college football. It's just, it just stinks where, you know, every little chance they get, they take shots at Notre Dame, and you know, this climb back isn't going to be an easy one. You're going to have everybody against
you. And
you
know what? I think that it doesn't bother me. I mean, bring it on. You know, I mean, that's also part of being a big boy and getting back on the block and starting knocking people around. I mean, I don't mind, you know, what Desmond Howard says. I've spent more time, you know, thinking about, you know, when I'm pulling a fork out of the utensil drawer. I mean, who the hell cares? I mean, you know, but I will say that as long as we're still kind of, you know, figuring this out, to me, in a strange way, I thought what Brian Kelly said was so right. You know, he kind of put some of the players in their place after the USC game, who said, well, we've handled adversity before and we could do this. I totally agree with him. Last year was adversity. You know, the tragedy with Declan Sullivan, you know, that's adversity. Adversity isn't losing a football game. You know, what he said, I think, was, you know, we don't have to overcome adversity. We have to overcome ourselves. I mean, the reason that Notre Dame is, you know, whatever, 4-3, 5-3, is because of 13 turnovers in their 3 losses. Okay, that's why they are what they are. You know, not because of adversity. Right. Okay, they didn't have, you know, they don't have, you know, the kind of real, you know, human kind of, you know, drama issues that they had last year. You know, there's always things like that going on. But, I mean, adversity, no. They just played some really crappy football at the very worst time of some of these games. So, you know, they can – it's all fixable stuff. But can I
– It is.
No, I was just going to get on one subject because I know it's near and dear to your heart. But, you know, kind of by statistical measures, you know, Tommy Rees had a pretty decent game on Saturday. But I moved significantly over into the camp that he is just not the answer. I mean, God love him. I mean, you know, and he's winning some football games. But, man, you know, Dane Crist came in for two or three plays, you know, and threw two or three passes. And it was almost like a full second. Yeah, I mean, the ball just got to the receiver so much quicker with him throwing it. And Tommy just makes some throws where, thank God, Michael Floyd can catch anything within, you know, 5 yards of him. But he hits guys, you know, on the wrong shoulder. I think Mayock pointed that out a couple times. I mean, he doesn't plant his feet correctly. I mean, I'm just talking about the pure physical aspects of playing the position. He may have the best understanding of the offense out of the other alternatives. He may have the best mind out there, son of a coach and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of just throwing the football, man, it's not all that great.
Right. No, it isn't. And I think that he's probably another indication of, you know, Brian Kelly coaching around what he really wants. I mean, I think we all know that Golson would be in there if he was a sophomore instead of a freshman this year. You know, ultimately, that is the type quarterback that's going to be recruited at Notre Dame, and is going to be at the head of Kelly's offense.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen. You know, I'm trying to remember from the Blue Gold game. I really haven't seen, you know, Golson kind of throwing out or throw a touch pass or throw a screen pass or throw it. I know he can fling it.
Just from what I saw in his high school films. I mean, he can throw a dart. I mean, it's not like he's a great athlete that can get by with his arm. This kid's got a great arm. Wait till you see him light it up. But, you know, he's a young kid. He's 18 years old and, you know, stepping into the fray at Notre Dame. I think it was the smart move not to play him this year. I think it was the absolute right thing to do. And I think that, man, you add somebody like that to the mix with, you know, the talent that we'll have next year, look out. And maybe it's not even next year. Maybe Golson takes one more year. I mean, I find it hard to believe, but that's a possibility. You know, one thing I did want to point out that came out of the game that it was really the only frustrating point for me. You know, this little swing pass that they're running. How many times are we going to run that play? I don't care if you think you execute it 9 times out of 10. The one time you don't execute it costs us the game. And it's 14-0.
Oh, yeah.
We run this swing pass. Yeah. All of a sudden, the ball gets turned over. It's now 14-7. Yep. You know, there's two things. There's one, the way you avoid that from happening is, Rees, you take one more step back. So when you drop back, you take another step, get behind the running backs so that you're throwing the ball forward. When you don't get behind the running backs, that's what swings it. And I can't imagine that he's that damn slow that we don't have time for him to take one more step.
And I mean, I don't know who.
I just don't get it. Quit running the play then. If you guys can't execute it, don't run the damn play.
I don't know who wrote it or said it, but I completely agree that, you know, unless it's a design play for a halfback pass, there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't throw the ball forward or make damn sure that you were throwing the ball forward. I don't understand the play. I don't necessarily, even when, you know, executed properly, I don't think it's a particularly, you know, good play.
It's way too risky of a play. I mean, it's just think of what they're doing.
Yeah, the risk reward is ridiculous.
If it's a designed lateral, if it's intended to be that way, that's way too damn risky to play. I mean, if you're going to sit here and tell me that, no, it's designed that way, the running back's got to catch it, come on, man. We're not that good. Don't run that play.
Yeah.
I mean, here it is. It cost us against USC. I mean, maybe you could argue, yeah, the game was over at that point.
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
I mean, no, I don't think so. And I just, you know, it's just, man, that's just frustrating. So you would have thought, coming out of that game, that, well, hell, we're never going to make that mistake again. And we did it twice.
You know, I have to say, I mean, sometimes when I see that stuff, I just, and maybe I'm like way overthinking this, but, and I, you know, it's just like another test that Kelly has given these guys. You know what I mean? It's almost like he's just daring the fan base and daring his team to, you know, it's like he's daring the team to mess it up again. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, throwing into the end zone against Tulsa and, you know, doing something. There's just part of him that one of the ways that he wants to put his imprint on this team is to just kind of, you know, basically put them in positions where they, you know, they overcome kind of their, you know what I mean? Because those guys know that play cost them, you know, against Southern Cal, that it was a turnover. And I understand if that's part of your playbook, running it again to demonstrate that you have confidence in these guys to execute it correctly the next time, that you can't basically just give up and say, well, we can't do that. I can't ever do that again. You know, in other words, it's a way of just demonstrating faith in your offense. Now, just because I don't like the play doesn't mean that he hasn't figured out or he hasn't decided that it's, you know, a very viable thing that he wants to run, that's, you know, something that fits into his scheme and et cetera. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. He's been coaching offensive football forever, so fine, run the play. But I'll agree with you. I mean, the risk reward, especially when the fact that, you know, it came at a point in the game against Navy where things certainly were not sealed up, and they moved the ball really well on their first drive, and they converted all those third and longs, and suddenly we're thinking like, well, what the heck, you know? And we were just fortunate to get a stop, and they missed a field goal, and you know, it was obvious they weren't going to stop us, and it was going to have to be a situation where we were going to have to help them, but that's exactly what we did with that turnover. So
it is, and it's, you know, and this, if there's anything we've learned with this football team this year, the turnovers is the difference in the game. That's why we lose football games. So you've got to do anything and everything to prohibit that from happening, because when you don't turn it over, you win. So that was frustrating. I'll be surprised going the rest of the season if we see that play run where it's a lateral. I just can't imagine we're going to run that as a lateral anymore if it's been designed that way. I don't think it is. I disagree with I was getting into it with Sully again this week, but he seems to think that that's a design play and that you just got to execute. I don't buy that. All it takes is one more step, and it's no longer lateral.
Sure.
So, and it was close. You know, I think, you know, there's probably some people that could argue that you couldn't have overturned that. It should have been. It was just too close. But you know what? It is what it is, and I don't know. I just hope. But that was the only blemish. I mean, you look at that football game, and there was absolutely nothing.
Well, the college football world can tune in Saturday night at 8:00, because there really isn't going to be any other interesting games on, and see if Notre Dame can execute that play correctly against Wake Forest. I mean, to me, that is a lot more drama than number one, number two in Tuscaloosa. So I, for one, will be checking out to see if Tommy Reese and Sierra Wood can hook up on that play.
Yeah, am I going to get that game down here? I don't even know.
You'll. My understanding is it will definitely be on ESPN2. Or no, wait, let me see. Is it going to be national on ESPN2? No, you may. I think you'll get it.
Okay.
I think you'll get it on ESPN2.
I would think, because it's Wake Forest, I'll probably end up getting it.
I think you'll get it.
In any event, you know, really quick, we won't touch on this, but I think that for Notre Dame, I mean, obviously the path in front of them is they're all playing for themselves right now. Wake Forest is not the easy gimme game we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season.
I
have seen them play. I saw them play for a quarter, and
they're going to be a bowl team, right?
I mean, they're decent. They're a good football team. I liked what they were doing. They got some athletes on the team. It's absolutely no gimme. I think we're the better team, but you know, this is where it really starts. You really start to see where we're at as a football team at this point in the season, because you know these turnovers. Granted, we are turning it over less, but from where we started, that's almost a you know, an obvious one. But I think you're going to see the real character of this football team come out over the next couple of games, heading into Stanford, and then that'll be the final.
Well, that Stanford USC game was a heck of a fun game to watch. I think if the kid for USC wouldn't have fumbled, McNeil wouldn't have fumbled, they might still be playing and trading touchdowns and 2-point conversions. But Stanford's beatable. I mean, they're very good, but you know, that's, you know, we got to take care of business first. But I'd love to get a shot at them. Hopefully, we could play loose. You know, it's probably not going to affect where we go for a bowl game, But I'm going to be rooting like crazy for Stanford to beat Oregon, and I'm going to hope we can go out there and just ruin their day and their season.
Yeah, that would be unbelievable. Yeah, let's hope so. Good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dumb and Dumber, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.